Good morning and welcome to our service in Railway Street. Whether you're here in the meeting house or following us online on the phone, it's great to have you with us. This morning we welcome back Ashley Parks. Ashley is a student for ministry at Union College and he has been with us before. Ashley, you're very welcome in our fellowship this morning and we're looking forward to having you share from God's word. This evening at 6:30, Michael will be preaching from Psalm 124 under the heading, But for the Lord, and we'll also celebrate communion at our evening service. The PW meets tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the Minor Hall. Our speaker is Jason Nicholson. He's the Executive Secretary of the Presbyterian Children's Society. And this is a work that Railway Street as a congregation have been supporting financially. He will be speaking on the subject of giving children a future. The Irish Men's Convention takes place next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Anyone who's interested in going should contact Michael, and for all those who are attending, you'll receive more detailed information early in the week. Next Sunday, 2nd of March, is our PW service. The speaker at the service will be Shirley McGonigal from the International Meeting Point, and I believe the ladies had a great night with her earlier in the year, and she is really worth listening to, so let me commend that to you. I also want to highlight the Mission in Ireland evening on Sunday 10th of March at 6:30. The theme is Weak Made Strong, and our speakers will be Helen Freeburn from Galway Presbyterian Church and Michael McCormick, who is an RAF chaplain. It's with deep regret that I have to announce the death on Thursday of Mr. Ken Kyle, Elder Emeritus of this congregation. A service of thanksgiving for Ken's life will be held here tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. We extend our sincere sympathy to his widow Hilary and their sons Simon, Richard, Philip and Colin, and also to the wider family circle. Let us pray. God of all comfort, we give you grateful thanks for every fond memory of Ken and for his legacy of faithful service here. By your Holy Spirit, would you draw near to Hilary and all the family in the midst of their pain and loss. May they know your grace, your mercy, and your peace sustaining them, both now and in the days to come. Even in grief, will you enable them to see beyond death to the glorious hope of eternal life in Christ, for it is in his name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Heidi. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back with you again here in Railway Street. It's lovely. A few months ago, whenever I was here, I hadn't started in Union yet, and now we're over a semester in, and it's time is marching on quickly, but it's lovely to be back with you once more. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 12. And is there a response for the screen? No, that's okay. I'll say it all. How can a young person live a spotless life? By obeying your commands. With all my heart, I try to serve you. Keep me from disobeying your commandments. I keep your law in my heart so that I will not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your ways. I've worked in two churches with Boys Brigade companies and I've never heard that hymn done with such fervor. It was wonderful. Thank you. Let's pray together. Over all the world, his people sing. Shore to shore, we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age. Our God is all in all. Lord God, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you call us your children. We thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you, our Father. We thank you now for all of those gifts, for our loved ones, for our homes, for the gift of your world that we get to enjoy every day. When we look around at the world, we see wonderful imagination of a master artist. We thank you too for the gift of a new day, and with it, the gift of a new opportunity to worship you. Lord, help us to use it for your glory and not ours. Father, forgive us for when we don't worship you as we ought, for when we do not honor you with our thoughts, words, or deeds, for when we do not give you the glory that you deserve, because, Lord, you deserve it all. We pray that you would forgive us for when we choose the way of the world over the way of Christ. Lord, show us your way, just as Jesus taught his disciples. Teach us, your disciples here, how to live for you the best we can. And so now we pray using the words that he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Could I invite the boys and girls to come to the front? I'll have a wee chat with you guys. And I'm going to need some help as I do that. I've borrowed my daughter Stella's building blocks for this morning. I hope she doesn't notice them missing. Any of you guys good at building blocks? Good? Good? Hello? I'll come back here just to be sure. I need some help building some blocks, okay? You two guys, you had your hands up first, okay? So do you want to join me up at the front here? I'll give you a wee pile of blocks each, okay? I love that you're straight in there. I haven't even told you what to build yet. Okay, that's a lot of fun. I want you two guys to build a house each, okay? And you've already got a head start. But knock that down for a second. I want you to start again. Because there's a twist. There's always a twist, isn't there? Okay. Because I don't want you just to build a house. You have to build a house on something, okay? So, what's your name? Charles, I want you to build a house on this for me. Okay, and what's your name? Arabella, I want you to build a house on this. Go. That's okay. Keep going.
I finished.
Oh, well, you've got more blocks there. Keep building. Make it fancy.
A first class builder.
Very good. Oh, it's all right. Yeah, yeah, it's not very housey, is it? That's okay. Okay, I'll give you like 10 more seconds, okay? Okay, stop. Great. Thank you so much. Give them a round of applause. You guys can take a seat again. You guys can take a seat. Thank you. We have two wonderful houses here, right? One was easier to do, wasn't it? Who found that easier, do you think? I think, yeah. I mean, looking at the results here, Charlie, I don't know.
It's Charles.
Charles. Arabella, yours looks like a house, right? Isn't it? That's okay. Charles, yours?
A house. Mine looks like a
building. Yeah. It was tough for you, Charles. It wasn't really a fair competition, was it? Because what you were building on was solid, was firm, right? Whereas Charles, what you were building on, it just kept on moving all over the place. The thing kept on falling. It wasn't very fair, was it? It wasn't very fair. I'm going to read to you now just from the Bible a story that Jesus told, okay? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus is telling his disciples, right? He's telling them about building houses, okay? But he's not really talking about building actual houses, and he's not even talking about building blocks. He's talking about building their lives, right? He's talking about what they build their lives on. And what Jesus says is, if you build your lives on what I say, on what I do, then your house, your life will stand. It will be good. Whenever difficult times come, your house will stand, your life will stand. You'll be okay whenever you build on a solid foundation of what I teach. That's why, Arabella, you built yours on a Bible, because that is the word of God. And if we build our lives on the word of God, our lives will stand up strong whenever the storms come. The storms that life throws at, and I'm not talking about a little bit of rain, okay? I'm talking about some of the really rubbish stuff that happens in life, some of the really difficult stuff that happens in life, because there is lots of really, really hard stuff that comes our way. If we build our lives on what Jesus says, then we'll be able to stand strong with him. But if we don't build our lives on what Jesus says, he's saying it's like building your house on something that its foundation's just all shaky and it'll just fall over whenever those things come. Because we don't have a firm foundation, we don't have that solid foundation in Jesus and in his words. And so whenever the difficult things come in life, we'll not be able to stand up strong. So what Jesus is saying is if you build your lives on him, if you follow him, if you call him your friend, then whenever those difficult things come in life, you'll be able to stand up strong whenever you remember what he does and what he teaches. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to build our lives upon you. And Lord, we pray that you help us to do that. Help each one of us now to focus on you and on what your word says and not on what the world around us says. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are going to go out now, is that right? Yeah? You guys are going to go out now to your program, and while they're doing that, the offering will be collected. That's okay. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these gifts, Father, and we pray that they may be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to move into a time of prayer, of intercession, prayer for other people just now. And in our prayers today, we're going to think about the church nationally and the church locally, as well as the ministry taster day at Union College that you might have heard about on Sunday Sequence this morning if you'd been listening. So we're going to come to the Lord now in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are over all and through all and in all, the head of the church. And so we pray now for your church. Thank you for Michael and for his faithful leadership here in Railway Street. Continue to work through him powerfully here and indeed in First Drumara, where he is leading this morning. We pray for the vacancy at First Drumara. Lord, grant them your wisdom and guidance as they navigate this time of uncertainty and transition. We pray that in your perfect timing, you might provide the right servant to be the new minister of that congregation. We pray for wisdom for Michael as he leads the Kirk session and congregation through the vacancy process. And Lord, we pray for the many vacancies across PCI. As we see the list in the Herald getting longer and longer, we pray that you would raise up faithful men and women to serve you and to serve your church. And where difficult decisions need to be made, we pray for your wisdom and your grace. We pray for the ministry taster day in a couple of weeks at Union College. We thank you for the interest shown already and pray that you might be working in the lives and hearts of those already planning to come. And also that you might stir something in others too, that they might come and find out more about ministry here in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Heavenly Father, we know that you are good, and we know that you love your children. And as we have prayed for your church across our country, we now think of your children here in Railway Street. We thank you for the blessing that this congregation is here in Lisburn. We pray that this church may continue to be a blessing to its members as they grow to know and love you more day by day, and a blessing to the community in which you've placed it. We pray for those of the church family who are ill or housebound, for those awaiting results of tests, and for those on waiting lists. Lord, draw them close to you now, and may they know the comforting presence and the saving love of their Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the Kyle family at this time of grief. We pray for Hillary and the wider family circle that they would know your comfort. May your people here surround them in godly love and support, and may they know that you are a God who is close to the brokenhearted. Father, we lift up these and all our prayers in and through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Colossians, Colossians 1, verses 1 to 23. You can find it on page 1182 of the Pew Bibles. Colossians 1, 1 to 23 says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord, and we thank God for it today. Let's pray. Lord, may these words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This summer, in June, I'm going to prison for 3 months on placement. Paul is writing to the Colossians here while he's in prison. Now, I think it'll look a bit different where he's writing than it does in McGabbery, but he's writing from prison, and he's on a bit of a letter-writing flow because he writes Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon around the same time. And these letters, they have different messages for different audiences and different churches, but some of the same themes appear. And in all of these letters, he's telling the readers how Christians are to live in the world and before God, as well as guarding themselves against some of the false teachers who are amongst them. We're obviously not going to go through all of these letters and all of these instructions today. And in fact, we're only going to look at 3 verses. Because before Paul gets into this letter, he sets out the foundation, which is the simplicity and the beauty of the gospel. And so we're only going to look at a short passage, because in it, the good news of salvation is wrapped up in 3 short verses. Colossians 1, 21 to 23. And I'll read them again just now. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Back when I was at school, just up the road at Wallace, my friends and I, we loved to play football at lunchtime. We used to go to the gravel pitches and change into our trainers, and then out came the ball. It was a horrendous ball, really. It was very dangerous, actually. Bits of leather just hanging off it and would cut you. It was a lot of fun. But I was in charge of bringing the ball, partly to make sure that it was a better ball than this, although inevitably it would end up looking like this after just a few weeks. But partly because as the owner of the ball, it gave me great power. Because when you're in the playground, and when you own the ball, and I'm not saying this was me, but you get to decide who plays and who doesn't. And that could be for various reasons. Maybe the teams aren't even, or maybe, and again, not me, maybe you just don't like the person. You know, kids can be mean. Or maybe whoever was trying to join in the game was from the wrong class, or even worse, the wrong year. We played X against Y or Y against Z. Those were the classes. But if you were in 11U or 11V, no, you go and find your own game. So people are left out. For me, probably more accurately, I enjoyed the power because being fairly limited in footballing ability, if I supplied the ball, it meant I couldn't be left out. Because I knew that being left out of the game isn't fun. The Colossian people knew what it was like to be excluded. But it wasn't because of a petty playground dispute. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Alienated from God, cut off from him, left out. See, they were Gentiles, and before Jesus came, Gentiles weren't included in God's people. Uncircumcised heathens, as Ephesians 2:11 puts it. And because of their Gentile status, because of their sin, they're out. They're excluded. They're cut off from a holy God who cannot be near sin. And verse 22, but, and this is a good but, because here comes the good news. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. As some of you know, we have a toddler at home, Stella. And so for the past nearly 4 years, I've just had to come to terms with the fact that anytime I go out, whether that's to church or to an important meeting or to the park or to football, wherever I go, I've had to accept that inevitably there's going to be a stain somewhere. A sticky handprint, a snotty nose, whatever it might be. In fact, as I was writing this, Stella was eating spaghetti hoops and came over and planted her tomatoey face right in the middle of my nice white t-shirt that I was planning to wear out that night. And this happens all the time. And no matter how clean my shirt or my jumper was when I put it on that morning, by the time I'm going out the door, it'll be dirty again. And I thought I was out of it, but now it's happening all over again with Caleb, who just turned one, and as he gets a bit older, it's going to keep on happening. The dirt is unavoidable. I'm covered in it, quite literally sometimes. Don't look too closely. And when it's on something that's just out of the wash, something that's supposed to be nice and clean, it just makes it that much worse, doesn't it? Way back in Genesis, when God first made man in his image, that was the plan, wasn't it? We were supposed to be clean. But then sin came into the world, and like a sticky handprint in the middle of your nice, clean, white t-shirt, Sin has made us dirty. And so what do you do when your clothes get dirty? You take it off. You discard it. And that's what God should have done with us. But he didn't. He loves us too much for that. We are too precious to him for that. He wants to wash us clean so that we would be free. We would be without blemish and free from accusation. The passage continues in verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Continue established and firm. Paul fully believes and celebrates that the people of Colossae could stand firm and could persevere in their faith. The word continue shows that he knows that they're doing it. They're in a good place. But there's a big word in there. Maybe you noticed it. If. If you continue to stand firm, then you'll be presented holy and without blemish. If. He believes that they can do it, and he hopes that they will. But he's also aware that the place is full of false teachers. False teachers that distract from the gospel. They were everywhere. And you know, we have them too, don't we? Maybe we don't label them as false teachers, but we have them. Society teaches us that we need to have more money, that more success equals more happiness. The media teaches us that we need to look or act or think a certain way to be accepted. We're taught that we, as the church, are intolerant and bigoted if we don't give up on certain beliefs or values. These things are being taught to us all the time, 24/7. And they're distractions from the gospel. As Paul encourages the Colossians, he's encouraging us, don't get distracted. Don't get knocked off course by the false teachers around you. Stand firm in the wonderful truth of the gospel. Paul stood firm. He stuck with the gospel through thick and thin, through prison and earthquakes, to death. He stood firm. With a solid foundation, like what we were talking about with the children earlier. Verse 23 continues. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul has brought this same message everywhere he's been. And he's told it in the same way. He doesn't change the message depending on who he's talking to. He doesn't change it because the gospel doesn't change. That would lump him in with the same false teachers that he's warning about earlier in the verse. He maybe exaggerates here who he's told it to, every creature, but he doesn't need to exaggerate the message or try to impress whoever's listening. The message doesn't need exaggeration. The gospel message that he brings everywhere doesn't change. And more than 2,000 years on, it still hasn't changed. It's the same gospel truth now as it was then. And so what is that gospel? What is that message that Paul brings everywhere he goes? As I said, it's summed up beautifully in these three verses. We were once distant from God because of our sin, the wrong things that we do each and every day. But instead of punishing us, instead of discarding us, God sent his son Jesus to the earth to live the perfect life and then to die and to rise again so that we might be free from our sin, not cut off from God anymore as we once were, but presented without blemish as the bride of Christ, beautifully dressed in white. Not like a tattered old football, no sticky toddler handprints, holy and blameless. So that one day, when this life is past, we can be presented to God as holy, as clean, and without blemish, as blameless, free from accusation, as His. This isn't the only time that the Bible uses this phrase, without blemish. It's used a number of times. It's used back in the Old Testament when talking about sacrifices for sin. The lamb that was sacrificed had to be without blemish. But then fast forward to the New Testament. Peter, the writer of Hebrews, both use the term when they're talking about Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 18-19 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate lamb without blemish. And so when Paul says Jesus will present you without blemish, what he's really saying is that Jesus will present you to his Father as being the same as he is. When God looks at you, he will see the perfection of Jesus. What an incredible thought that is. The perfection of Jesus, because he gifts that to us. It's not because of anything that we do, but it's because he puts that on us. He gives that to us as a wonderful gift. And so the question is this morning, do you want that? I know I do. The wonderful news is we can have it. If we stand firm, unmoved in our faith in Jesus, standing firm and established in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that it is as true today as it was then. We thank you that because of what Jesus has done for us, we can be made clean. Our sticky handprints can be washed off, and we can be presented without blemish to you. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made to make all this possible. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.